flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We are 3 hours from the weekend, but a weekend with no football. It's a prep weekend. Lots of people, lots of corporations and organizations and hordes of vendors and media and obviously members of the football community descending on New Orleans in the next few days. I will be here. It's all right. We're not going to miss out. I'm going to hang out with you. I can't afford it. Are you kidding? $1,800 a pop for a hotel room per night. And some of the prices to get into the Superdome for this game between the Chiefs and the Eagles, I've heard $9,000 on the secondary market. Not that I'd be buying a ticket, but yeah, it's a pricey venture, and New Orleans, a compact city, will be hosting its 11th Super Bowl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're asking you, in the last 25 years, so you can use your recency bias, but in the last 25 years, which is your favorite Super Bowl? Maybe you want to term it the best Super Bowl. I feel like every year, especially these last few, maybe going back to the one in Tampa during 2020, we've had some pretty impressive candidates, games that have gone into overtime, gone down to the wire. Multiple times the Chiefs have given us the 10-point deficit, that 10-point deficit hole that they have to climb out of, only to then rally and win. And man, the performances we've seen have been really impressive as well. So as we think about Super Bowl and voices of the Super Bowl, Pete, did you have an opportunity to find the clip I asked you about?
Yes.
Okay. A recognizable voice, especially if you listen to After Hours on a regular basis.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
the blue
coat.
They're coming from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part. That was a great call.
Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, that clip went viral at the time. And at the time, Kevin told us here on After Hours he would never do play-by-play for such an event again because He just got carried away, he said. We haven't had him on the show in a couple years. It was time. We were finally able to organize a conversation with him. Had a chance to catch up with Kevin on Thursday evening. And he's getting set to call his 15th Super Bowl broadcast on the Westwood One radio network. Of course, it's such a great honor, Kevin. What does it mean to you to be in that chair, to be at the Super Bowl calling this game again?
Well, I'm glad you said honor, because that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of how lucky I've been, Amy, to call 14 straight, and then this next one, Super Bowl 59, will be my 15th in a row. I've done 16 overall, with one for CBS HD back in 2001. When Moose Johnston was still at CBS, and HD was a brand new thing. People think that HD has been around forever. It's only been around for like 24 years. But we did the 2001 Tampa Giant Baltimore game. That was my first one, and so now I've done 14 in a row. This will be number 15, which I'm incredibly proud of. You know, I think of all, and I'm sure you do too, with all the history you've had in the business, you think about the people that preceded you, and I think of it every time I put on my Monday night football headset, wherever we are, but certainly with the Super Bowl, and think of Jack Buck, who had done 17 Super Bowls. He had done 8, and then he missed a couple, then he did 9 in a row. Marv Albert is the one I picked up after he decided he had done enough of Super Bowl broadcasting, and I was lucky enough to get that job before him. We've had the likes of Howard David and Don Crickey, and going back to the very first one with NBC Radio was Jim Simpson, Lindsey Nelson. So there have been some incredible broadcasters before me, and I know that there's not a broadcaster in the country that wouldn't switch places with me. So I feel blessed, honored. I'm so appreciative of this chance to broadcast for this company. And doing this game, of course, is great. It'll be the conclusion of my 40th consecutive year doing NFL play-by-play, and that means a lot to me. We come from a football family. My dad was in the NFL for 37 years, and I've been lucky enough to be in as long as he has. So it's big for our family, but personally for me, professionally for me, it is a blessing beyond measure, and I it is never lost on me every time I get ready to ramp up for this broadcast and actually do it on Super Sunday.
Well, congratulations on that longevity. In our business, that's saying a lot. But also, we love to listen to you. So it's clear, Kevin, you still got it.
Well, I hope I do. I probably work harder in self-critiquing now than ever before. And I think if you're not evolving in some way or trying to get better, as John Madden would say, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And he's right. If you're not taking whatever you're doing, whatever skill you have or whatever job you are performing, and don't try to make it better, find better ways to do things, put in more work or more analysis or whatever you do, then you're probably going to find yourself stagnant and go in the other direction. That's when you hit a problem. And so I try to, every off season, when I've got some time to really sit back and think about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, go back over every game I've done, grading it, I try, how can I be better? What am I hearing from other broadcasters? What are they doing that maybe I'm not? What is something that I can piggyback on? It's never ending, but that is, quite frankly, I think the thing that kind of keeps you going is, I always say to my wife, who I've been married to for 38 years, I always say, you know, it's another chance to get better. She goes, how can you say another chance? You've been doing this since you were, you know, 14 years old. If you're not good now or not, you know, satisfying your own wants now, you'll never do it. I say, I think you're wrong. I think you can always get better. And until I end up saying I'm finished, that will be my attitude. And hopefully it keeps me involved and keeps me as sharp as I can. But I love the challenge of that, as we all do in the business, of trying to maintain and always evolve and get better.
The Super Bowl is obviously the pinnacle of the sport for these athletes, but certainly, as you talk about, for broadcasters as well. Do you remember the last time you were nervous or had some type of nervous energy about any of these broadcasts?
Here's something that I picked up over the last 10, 12 years or whatever, just breathing deep before a game as they sing the national anthem. And I do that before every broadcast I have, whether it be with CBS or TNT or Westwood One. and go through the Navy SEALs, what do? They inhale for 5 seconds, they hold it for 5 seconds, and then they exhale for 5 seconds. Before every mission, they do this breathing exercise, which I have incorporated into my pre-broadcast thing. And I think it does settle you a little bit. I think it gets your mind even more focused as you can have that slight 2-3 minutes before you go on to do it. And so you're constantly kind of going over in your mind, not who's playing and when are they going to come in and formations. What I think about is the broadcast mechanics, making sure I've got the right people on the field, making sure that I've given the information, described it enough that someone who's driving can picture that play, that catch, that throw in their mind's eye, in the theater of their mind, and voice quality and tempo and pace and like all these things. That's what I think about, not, you know, who's going to have the big game or what's my call going to be if there's a big play or a big win. I don't think of any of that. I just think of the mechanics of the broadcast and let everything else kind of fall into place.
My audience would really be upset if I did not ask you, have you encountered any streakers, any black cats, any other animals on the field this season that you had to provide play-by-play for that event?
Thankfully, by the grace of God, there have been no animals or drunks that have gone on the field. I hope I never see one again. To show you how the business is, though, when you're doing a game, you are lost in the game. You are lost in the down and distance and the game situation and where's the clock and what needs to be done and who's a new player coming in. So you're, in addition to all the broadcast mechanics that are going through your head, so you're trying to combine all these elements. And if somebody runs out on the field as they're lining up for the snap, it becomes kind of part of the play. Or if an animal, a squirrel or a cat or whatever, happens to jump out on the grass on the field, that becomes part of it too. I've seen, I think, 3 or 4 instances of that since one when I was doing ESPN Big Ten football back in the early 90s, a couple times on Westwood One, and that really has been kind of it. And on TV, you can never really refer to the person that's run on the field. They swing the cameras around. You don't really acknowledge it. You may say somebody's come on the field, they're going to escort them off and then move on. On radio, because you can't see it, or you know, there's no identifiable element to the person on the field, you can pretty much describe what's going on, because if you were in the stands, that's what you would be seeing. You would be seeing security guards chasing some interloper all over the field. So it does. Now, the weirdest one, and I'll end with this on this particular subject, but the weirdest one was a couple years ago, strangest, I should say, with someone who was advocating for animal rights in a playoff game in Minnesota, and they glued their arm to the floor. I don't know if you remember that. That was about 3-4 years ago. They were trying to make a statement about animal rights and care. I thought the person had fallen, and they couldn't get up, and they were maybe in a state of unconsciousness. But no, they had glued themselves to the floor. And that's a hard describe. That's a hard thing to kind of throw out there and explain what's going on. But anyway, that was probably the strangest of all the people that have come out on the floors or fields.
We're always excited to have Kevin Harlan back with us on After Hours as he gets set for another Super Bowl. But between now and then, NBA and college basketball and the revolving door, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Kevin, as you get set to do your 15th on Westwood One, the Kansas City Chiefs have become nearly your constant companion. They've been with you now for almost half of these Super Bowls. You saw the Patriots a lot, too, earlier when you started this run. What similarities can you draw between what we saw with New England and now what we're seeing with Kansas City, other than the dominance?
Well, a great question, Amy. And I would say that it is always, they have a knack for always finding a way to win. They're wired in their minds with that is the end result. And how they get there is part of that journey. But they don't care necessarily, the Patriots and now the Chiefs, if they are just bulldozing opponents and putting up, you know, sparkling offensive numbers. That is the least of their concern. I always said when Brady was going through his 2 decades in New England, aside from Brady and Gronkowski, the number of Hall of Famers he played with were very few, very, very few. They were always such a team. And that team, those teams, always believed in the scouting report and the game plan given to them by their position coach each and every game. And game two was treated no differently than game, 17 and in the case of a Super Bowl season, playing in the biggest game of the year. And I think the Chiefs are very much like that. They trust the game plan. They never really veer from the lane they're supposed to be in individually on the field. They do their job. It was such a simple phrase in New England, do your job, but that really is it. Teams get into problems when guys that are supposed to be in spot A drift over to spot B, because that should be held by somebody else, or they try to do something that is outside of what their job was on that play. And because the Patriots and the Chiefs now, they don't stray from what they're supposed to do. They know that this is their area to cover. This is where the route should be run. This is where the pass has got to go. This is how I got to block on this play. And they don't look out of the corner of their eye. They stay with the game plan. They stay with what they are supposed to do. And the Patriots did it, and the Chiefs do it. Mm. And I think that's the greatest similarity. We can talk about the great coaches, and they both had great ones, Belichick and Reed, the quarterbacks, Brady and Mahomes, a couple of individual stars sprinkled in the lineup. But the bottom line is there are not a lot of Hall of Famers on this Chiefs team. Kelce is, the quarterback is, the coach will be. After that, I don't know. And in the 20-year run with Belichick and Brady in New England and all those Super Bowl appearances, how many Hall of Famers did he play with? Very few. It was right. All about team and doing your job. It's a simple phrase, but it's one that applies to both, and I think that's the greatest similarity that I see between the two.
What stands out about Philadelphia, maybe that's different from what we saw 2 years ago. Oh my gosh, I just set you up. It was like ball on a tee, Kevin Harlan. This is so easy for the Philadelphia Eagles. What's different from 2 years ago, Kevin?
Well, there's one big difference, and he is going to be, I think, Andy, the single most fascinating guy on the field. Saquon Barkley has changed that team. And what he has done, I saw something the other day where he's 30 yards away from having the most yards on the ground rushing than any player in one season in the history of the game. I think he's going to pass with 30 rushing yards Terrell Davis, if I'm not mistaken, with Denver. Now, he's had the two great playoff games. He had the incredible 2,000-yard rushing season in the regular year. And now he's got one more game to even make it historical in the sense for him personally. But I do think he is the single biggest difference in this game. I really assume that Hurts will be Hurts, Mahomes will be Mahomes. All the usual suspects will be their usual great selves, that they're not going to stray. But the difference to me is Barkley. Now, the Chiefs did not have great success stopping the run. They're just a middle-of-the-pack run defense. Joe Mixon got him for Houston in the divisional round. Last week, the running of Cook was huge and important, and he probably could have run the ball more because he was under 15 carries and was really racking up the yards, and the Chiefs didn't have any response for him. But the Chiefs will be zeroing in on Saquon Barkley, as all of us will. I just think right. I just don't think you can take your eyes off him. He's that compelling a player.
Such a great story, too. A dream season and how it played out. So neat. So happy for him as a humble superstar. Kevin Harlan with us here after hours on the Infinity Sports Network. And I saw the report that you may be the voice of the NBA or one of the voices of the NBA on Amazon. It's certainly this major shift in our broadcast industry now where fans have to adjust to streaming and having a bunch of different outlets. Will you feel so cool, Kevin, if you end up on streaming and now that's really hip?
First of all, my wife and I, and we try to stay as current as we can with technology, but I'm sure I speak for many people out there, just keeping track of passwords.
Yeah.
And keeping track of what you really are subscribing to,
yes.
Is it Hulu? Is it Paramount Plus? Is it Max? Is it Apple? Like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden, what was a very simple concept years ago has become infiltrated with, I don't think I'm exaggerating, tens of different streaming and some, overlap others and some don't. Wow, it's like... It's a lot to keep track of. That's why cable was so simple, because you knew over the air and you knew the big networks, the four big networks. And then on cable, you basically had your list of stations, right? Your TNTs, your MTVs, your CNNs, your like. But now, you know, with the entertainment value that streaming is providing and live coverage of sports and news and other events, finding out, does this one have it? No, they don't. Okay, what about these? Yeah, we've got that, but did our subscription and subscriptions are now going up? And so it's a different world. And if, like I said before, if you're not staying current, you're falling behind. And I don't think I'm alone in saying there are other people that are just going, wow, what am I subscribing to? What were the passwords? And does this service carry this particular show, or in now the case we're going to see, this particular sport? Netflix gets in for a quick hit on football on Christmas Day. I mean, like, there's a lot going on, and that's a job in itself, keeping up with who you are subscribing to and how you're going to get it. But it's an amazing time in our business. It is changing. You know, podcasts are emerging even more and gaining great traction. Radio is going to always have a place with live sports and live news, live weather. But the landscape changes all the time, and I don't even know if we're even close to the finish line. I think there's stuff we're not even talking about now that's going to happen in 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Mm. We're going to go, I never would have thought we would be in this place, but sure enough, here we are. So it's fascinating to watch in a very exciting time in our business.
Your daughter, Olivia, is turning into an accomplished reporter, does a lot of sideline work, even on Westwood One. I think she would be proud of me and want me to push this across the finish line. So do you care to confirm or deny the Amazon report, Kevin?
Well, it may not be just Amazon. It may extend even more. And my wife and I are kind of figuring out, you know, where we, you know, my biggest fear is, and you see this with a lot of people in broadcasting, because the job is so fun and it's exhilarating and you're around young creative people and old creative people. And, and it's a drug that is hard to ever get completely satisfied with, because you continue to feed off the highlights of a game and traveling to a Super Bowl and doing all these other things. But at the same time, life is more than just a game, and life is more than just getting on another plane and going to another city in the middle of the winter, which is great. I've done it my entire life, over 40 years, but there's a lot of other things out there to do too. And I'm still young enough with my wife, and we'd like to do some traveling even more than we've done. And we've done quite a bit, but do even more. And we've got 6 grandchildren and want to make sure that we're around for them, that they know who their grandparents are, and yet still maybe keep the job thing going for a while. So finding that balance is right now the number one topic for my wife and I, and we'll figure it out. And I will tell you this, it is always nice to be thought of in a way where you can be a part of maybe a new venture or a new, you know, I've been at CBS since 1998. I've been at Turner since 96. And I told you earlier about my years in the NFL, and my first job was when I was 21 in the NBA. So I've been lucky beyond my dreams.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just feel like this next stage will hopefully fall right in line with everything I've done. But I'm grateful that someone would find my work to the point where they'd want to bring it on with their new venture. And I, for that, am eternally grateful. And we'll see where these next couple months go as we try to, like I said before, figure out what our next move. I am sad, Amy, to leave TNT. They're losing the NBA, as we know. And we've had a couple of our kids during my tenure there when I began in 96. And I've worked with a lot of great people. There are many people that are still there. And but it's sad to see that chapter come to a close. It was a very big part of my career, and I'll always be grateful to them.
Well, I appreciate that. It is going to be a little bit jarring, and it has been with this migration to streaming. And yet, as you talk about, if you're not moving and changing, a lot of times you're getting left behind. And so you got to move and change with the business. It's always so good to catch up with you, Kevin, that voice. I heard a part of a podcast not long ago where you were talking about how you only ever get recognized if you order something in a restaurant, which I thought was pretty funny, the voice. But that's our business, right? Radio is great. So the voices, if they're distinct, that's a good sign. And I know my audience is always excited to have you on the show. And thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Well, being on with you, Amy, is a treat. My daughter has looked up to you. I've talked about you with her often. Your career in this business, which has been just second to none for what you've done. And I look forward to all the things you've got ahead of you. It's a pleasure to be with you. Seems like we talk every year about this time. Belated congratulations on your marriage, your wedding not too long ago, and happy for you personally and always happy for you professionally. And I look forward to the next time we can visit.
Well, me too, always. That voice, you can imagine Kevin Harlan is getting recognized when he orders the eggplant parm off of the menu at a local restaurant. Of course, that he's hanging out with Hall of Famers like Kurt Warner and others that he works with in the broadcast business. What a treat to have Kevin back on the show. And producer Pete, thank you for working that out. We've been tracking down Kevin, working on a time that fits because he's got college basketball. He was in Memphis for the NBA on Thursday night, not to mention every week he's in a different city. He lives in Kansas City half the year and then is in Wisconsin the other half of the year, which makes him also a man after my own heart. So really good to connect with him even as he prepares for his 15th consecutive Super Bowl on Westwood One. And that broadcast, of course, with Kurt Warner comes up next Sunday. You'll be able to hear that conversation again, if you like, as part of our podcast. 855-212-4227. I didn't ask him what Super Bowl he thinks is the best in the last 25 years, but we've got plenty to choose from. I feel like I know where I'm going with this. I feel like I know where I'm going, but I'm going to wait and hear from some of you. Again, 855-212-4227. Also on Twix at Amy After Hours. And the question is now up on our Facebook page as well. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
The Super Bowl is a great event to watch, just, you know, to see how, you know, those two great teams play under pressure. They're obviously the two best teams. They're the two teams that should be there. And you know, you want to see how they compete against each other.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bill Belichick is still fulfilling his media obligations, and I'm glad. I really enjoy hearing from him. Sometimes he rattles stuff off, and my mouth kind of drops open. And there was one of those examples on the Pat McAfee show this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Kevin Harlan. He is terrific. And honestly, when I talk to him, I really don't want to or need to talk about specific sports. I throw in a question there about the Chiefs and the Eagles. And he does a great job incorporating elements of these two teams. You can tell he's been prepping and he knows the teams well. But what I really enjoy talking to him about is the challenges of the broadcast. To hear him share his breathing technique before he does a big game. He doesn't get nervous, but he does try to slow down his heart rate and take control of his mind and his physical body, whatever might be going on there, with some breathing techniques that are employed by Navy SEALs. So kind of fun tricks of the trade And it was, it's always good to catch up with him. And it was fun to ask him and kind of put him on the spot too about his future with Amazon. But I dare say if the reports are accurate, we'll see him and hear him as part of the new NBA deal that will include streaming on Amazon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So you hear Belichick there on McAfee. He was talking about the fact that it's really difficult if you're a team that had a shot in the NFL playoffs and you blew it. Now, I'm not joking about this. As I'm listening to this, I'm blown away. But I'm also seeing Pat McAfee. It's a split screen. It's Pat and it's Bill. Bill's in a suit with his Carolina blue tie, clearly in the middle of recruiting. McAfee's face really reflected what I was feeling. This guy can remember all of these details about weeks of playoff games now and remember them to a T. No wonder he is such a brilliant coach. So listen to this. He's talking about the teams that didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
I'd say the worst part of it is for the teams that aren't there. Teams like Baltimore that, you know, had two big turnovers without really even getting hit, dropping a pass on the goal line that would have put the game into overtime, or Buffalo giving up a 50-yard punt return and can't make a couple of fourth downs, or the Rams that, you know, give up two long runs and fumble a handoff, and then on the last two plays of the game don't block Jalen Carter and have to throw the ball away. Tampa that fumbled a handoff and then fumbled another play with the wide receiver jet sweep, you know, whatever it was, and then fumble the ball down going into score. Plays like that that you have to live with for 6 months, actually longer than that, but until you start training camp again, where you just feel like, you know, we blew the game, we just lost the game, and lost it on fundamentals, on ball security, on bad tackling, like the Rams had, like a, you know, not blocking Jalen Carter. He's lined up on a defensive line, has three technique. He's the best player on the field, and he gets a free run at the quarterback two plays in a row on the last two plays of your season. I mean, those are heartbreaking, and they're gut-wrenching for the team because you just have to live with them for a long period of time, and I've been there before. I mean, it makes it for a long off season, but, you know, you got to bounce back like the Rams. I'm sure that they're sitting there feeling like, you know, we should have been playing in this game, but we just messed it up. And then you take a team like Detroit that had the best year in their history and give up 41 points.
See what I mean? He pinpoints specific plays and not just, hey, Detroit had five turnovers, or, hey, the Rams also were careless with the football. Now, he's remembering and pinpointing specific moments that maybe other casual observers would not appreciate. That he mentions Jalen Carter and the free reign at Matthew Stafford when the Rams and Eagles were playing in the divisional round, or how about the balls that were dropped by Tampa? And so to hear him talk about it, I was kind of blown away. And the face, the facial expression, I should say, on Pat McAfee was pretty funny too. The fact that he's also just listening along for the ride as Belichick is rattling off these moments. And yeah, Bill goes on to say it really isn't a whole lot of fun to watch it after you get eliminated. In fact, you don't want to watch it at all. And I can suspect that, I mean, that's probably the case with a lot of these guys who feel like they had a shot and let it get away or blew it. I wouldn't want to watch it either if that was me. No way. I don't need to be reminded. I'm already living it and stewing over it. What is the best Super Bowl of the last 25 years? We're collecting some of your answers. Love to hear from you at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page too. Now the post is up and we'll get to some calls. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Because I cannot remember dates real accurately. I can remember some, not all. I a lot of times get the dates confused of, you know, past big games. So I've got the list up in front of me so I don't confuse the years. So we'll get into some of those straight ahead. We're so glad to have you with us as we wrap up another work week. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Let's tip off with the NBA. The Lakers beat the Wizards in Washington 134-96. Lakers head coach J.J. Redick saw his shorthanded team get a blowout win.
It's a big deal when three of your top seven guys are out of the lineup and you can bring guys in that haven't necessarily been in the rotation and they make a big impact.
LeBron James, 24 points, 11 boards. The Wizards have lost 16 in a row. Now to Utah.
And with it, top of the key. The free throw line, dumps it off for Rudy inside, takes a dribble. Here comes the jump hook. He banked it in off the window. Two more for Rudy Gobert. Give him 15 for the game.
Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. T-Wolves over the Jazz, 138-113. Anthony Edwards, 36 points and 11 assists. Elsewhere, Blazers over the Magic, 119-90. Grizzlies, 120. Rockets, 119. And the Cavs over the Hawks, 137-115. NBA All-Star Reserves. In the West, Victor Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Jaren Jackson Jr., Alperen Sengun, and Jalen Williams. In the East, Jaylen Brown, Pascal Siakam, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Kate Cunningham, Damian Lillard, and Tyler Hero. College basketball in overtime. Nebraska over Illinois, 80-74. Memphis beat Tulane, 68-56. And UCLA over Oregon, 78-52. College football East-West Shrine Game. It was the East over the West, 25-0. From baseball, former Mets pitcher Max Scherzer has reportedly agreed on a one-year deal with the Blue Jays worth $15.5 million. NHL, Kraken over the Sharks, 6-2. In overtime, Blue Jackets 2, Golden Knights 1. In overtime, Red Wings 3, Oilers 2, Flames 4, Ducks 1. Islanders over the Flyers 3-0, Hurricanes 3, Blackhawks 2, Canadiens 4, Wild 0. In overtime, Senators 5, Caps 4, Lightning over the Kings 3-0. Jets beat the Bruins 6-2. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Zachary Risache.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown. Kansas City. McCole Hardman. McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side. A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game. 25-22. And the Chiefs Kingdom has started its own history class. Because for the first time in 6,944 days, there is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs, champions of Super Bowl 58 on the heels of Super Bowl 57.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not that long ago, not even a year ago, Super Bowl 58, Mecole Hardman with the game-winning walk-off touchdown in overtime for the Chiefs. Mitch Holtis with the call on Chiefs Radio. Only the second Super Bowl ever to require overtime. Man, what a finish it was. And heartbreaker again for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the year before, Chiefs and Eagles also staged a really competitive game, maybe the best game of Jalen Hurts' career. That one was 38-35, Chiefs over the Eagles. We had a three-point game between the Rams and the Bengals in 22, so the 21 season, but the 22 Super Bowl. The Buccaneers and Chiefs, going back to the one that was played in Tampa, that was Tom Brady's last World Series Super Bowl ring. That actually wasn't a competitive game, and you may have forgotten that the first time the Chiefs and Niners matched up in the Super Bowl, that goes back to the 19 season, first ring for the Chiefs in 50 years, it actually featured a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter for the Kansas City Chiefs, and yet they ended up winning by 11. Talk about a wild swing in that game. So an incredible fourth quarter at that point. Rams and Patriots before that, it was a 10-point game in the end. But remember, there was no offense forever in that game. You want to talk about a defensive tussle. Thinking about, let's see, Patriots and Falcons. I was at that game, went into overtime in Houston at NRG Stadium. Nick Foles, the Super Bowl MVP. And then we could go on and on. So your favorite Super Bowl or the best Super Bowl? This you'll laugh at, producer Pete. Some dude clearly I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark and say that he hates the Kansas City Chiefs, so maybe a fan of another team, said there's been no good Super Bowls since 2017. And now I'm assuming he's referring to the game in 17, which was actually the 16 season. So Patriots, Falcons, and the 28-3 deficit. It was terrific, but he actually says there are no good ones since 2017. So maybe Patriots fan who doesn't like the idea of either Tom Brady winning without the Patriots or the Chiefs now becoming a dominant team.
Probably the Chiefs.
Right?
Being a dominant team.
There have been some incredible Super Bowls in the last few years. What would you say is the best since the turn of the century?
So I have four. I'm looking at four on our list here.
Okay.
I would say that the, you know, there's the first Pats Super Bowl.
Against the Rams. Greatest show on turf.
That had so much drama.
It did.
That it may not be the best, but it's like two.
They were relatively unknown. I mean, Tom Brady and the Patriots going for the field goal as opposed to playing for overtime. Right. That was, at the time, a big stunner. Now it's not. But, yeah, the Patriots going for it. And, of course, Adam Vinatieri hitting the game winner. That was also in New Orleans, was it not?
Yes.
I think it was.
Yes, it was. The Rams-Titans, when Kurt Warner finally won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to say that's the one for me.
Okay.
Because it was just, it had so much drama. It was two fairly new teams to that stage. And it really kicked off the whole 2000s, I thought, in style. And it was a good way for Dick Vermeil to go out with finally a ring. So I will say Rams Titans, but also the Giants' first one against the Patriots.
That,
dear my heart.
That ended their perfect season. Yeah. Well, and the way the game played out, it was stunning. The David Tyree helmet catch, last catch he ever made in the NFL. That was one of my most vivid Super Bowl memories of the last 20 years. I was able to go to a party. I wasn't working that night. Also, one of the last times that ever happened. So pretty incredible. So the Rams Titans would be the first one that we're talking about here. So that eclipses, if we were extending it to all time or back a little farther, mine would be Packers and Broncos, the first Super Bowl win for John Elway and for Denver, of course. And it went down to the wire and you had him running for first down in the red zone with that whirling dervish. He gets up in the air and he gets spun around. That was to me the most amazing. But since we're cutting it off at 2000. Rams Titans with Kurt Warner as the MVP played in Atlanta January 30th, 2000. First one of this run that we're talking about. Marshall is in Milwaukee. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Well, Amy, it's great to talk to you. And before we get into football, we have to give our condolences to the D.C. tragedy. And I appreciate your coverage of it. I've been listening to some of it, and I can just briefly relate to this a bit. I lost a classmate of mine from, you know, back in my North Carolina days in a major air tragedy in the nation of Africa back in the early zeros, and three generations of that family were killed. So I can identify with these people very much, and just losing a And it was the year before our 25th reunion to high school reunion. And, you know, it's gut-wrenching. But I believe God's in control of everything. As you know, I've talked about my faith with you a little, and it's tough right now. But we can only pray that God can bring comfort to these families as only he can. That's what I always say in these things. And a good friend of mine said to me back over 20 years ago, it was their turn. And we just have to deal with that. And hopefully these families will deal with it the best they can.
Just, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Sure. And just into football. Of course, my Packers winning in 2010 was the big one for me. And that Denver game was great, but at the time I was heartbroken.
I can imagine. But this just the year before Green Bay had won, so it's not like the Packers had been devoid of any championship. I mean, they won the year before that with Brett Favre.
Yes, absolutely. But one of my dreams was to have the back-to-back championship the Packers and the Heels, my Tar Heels, have come so close, but so far. But hey, to be back to back in that game is just luckier than most fans can be, and so I have to look at it that way. But the other two that I'll just quickly say, you mentioned one of them was Brady against the greatest show on turf, and we all thought at the time, Amy, that that was going to be overtime. That's what I was thinking at the time, and it was also after 9/11, of course, and you know, but Brady moved in Tampa so methodically, and what little did we know would be coming through the rest of this quarter century here, and then the other one is just last year. I was watching that game here in Milwaukee with church friends, and there were Kansas City and 49er fans. Of course, I could play neutral, so it was fun for me. But
yes,
I remember some of my best friends in the church who are 49er fans just being so crestfallen.
Again, right, again.
It was a tremendous game, though.
It was
just a great football game.
It was good. And it was in Vegas, too. So first time there at Allegiant Stadium, and the Chiefs having not lost since they played the Raiders on Christmas Day, able to run the table. It's amazing what they've done. They know how to win. They don't blow teams out, but they know how to win, which makes for more exciting games for us. Marshall, thank you so much for your phone call. There's the music, so we're headed up toward the top of the hour. Best Super Bowl in the last 25 years. It's After Hours.